brother who got saved.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Ray. I appreciate the fact that I can be in the presence of somebody that's just a regular guy that's chosen to serve God. And I think, you know, the testimony there is solid, that each one of us can just step up and do what we need to do. And you know, God's going to lay on our hearts how much or when or where and all of that. And if we just listen to Him and follow and trust Him, you know, that's all good. Hey, Kathy, could you do me a favor and set that in the box? Sometimes I forget to bring my tithe check, so I've started putting it in my Bible. But if I don't open the Bible right away when I get to church, it doesn't make it in the box till I open the Bible. So definitely want to be in God's Word. That's something that this church is all about. And we're privileged to hear. I mean, he talked about that we're going to go into Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And we're up to chapter 18 in the book of Acts. And our message today brings us all the way to this part of the uttermost parts of the earth, is Corinth. Paul had been over in Athens, and he left Athens. They were kind of indifferent to God's word. He shared the word with them, and there wasn't really a whole lot of reception. There were a few people that believed there, and a couple of them were named, and then it said, and some others. But he just wasn't into talking to a whole bunch of people that were just willing to talk about ideas but not willing to commit. And he moved on for whatever reasons. We don't know whether he went by land or by sea, but he did find his way from Athens to Corinth. Corinth was a city at that time of at least 200,000 people. And it's on it was in the center of this little 3.5-mile section that was between the Aegean Sea and Adriatic Sea, with the little Gulf of Corinth there. And in there was a port city on this side. Let me go to another slide here. There was a port city on this side, and there was a port city on this side. Now there's a canal through there, so you can take ships right through there. But during the time of Paul, they would take the ships up to the shore and then put them on big rollers and push them or carry them, pull them, that 3.5 miles to get them to the other side, back and forth. And it was one of the ways that they would get goods and services from one side to the other, because it was rather dangerous to get down into this part of the Mediterranean Sea. It was really wild. And so rather than going around that south side, they just kind of went through, kind of like our Panama Canal, a little smaller scale. But it was an important city of commerce, and it was a very, very successful city in the world's eyes. But it was also a very depraved city. The word Corinthianize meant to be sexually immoral, which always made me wonder when that guy was given the commercials for cars. It's got Corinthian leather. I wasn't sure what he was trying to point out there. But anyway, so, you know, they've got the nice canal through there now. This last little map is just kind of a diagram of what Paul's journey was, this second journey, where he left Antioch, went all these different places, ended up down in Athens, came over to Corinth, and then today he's going to breeze through some other places really quickly. Dr. Luke doesn't give us a lot of details on that section of Paul's journey. But one good thing is we know that God is working not just through Paul, but through a whole lot of other people as well. And so if you'll turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 18, if in the Pew Bibles there, page 1694, and Acts 18, in this very short time, I'm going to make an attempt to work my way clear through this chapter today. It'll be fun. Get your seatbelts on. Okay. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. That helps them know about what time period this was, where we're talking about. It was around 50 BC. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, leather worker, kind of the same thing, he stayed and worked with them. So he met these people, and he somehow had known them. We don't know whether Paul led them to Christ or they knew Christ before, but you know what? These were ministers for Christ, and they did much, as you look through Scripture. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Here is Paul trying to persuade, and he's reasoning, and he's doing that from the Scripture. He's constantly going back into the Scripture. We've seen that pattern again and again. And he goes to the synagogues because that's where the God-seekers would be, the God-fearing Greeks, and also the people that knew God from Hebrew days of Old Testament God. They're looking for the Messiah, looking forward to the Messiah. And he's saying, hey, he's come. I know who he is. I'd love to introduce you to him. And that's really what we need to be doing with our lives too, is just saying, you know, let's persuade people that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior, the one that's going to take us out of our own slavery to sin and death. So verse 5, when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't have to continue doing that tent making or the leather working at this time, because when Timothy and Silas came, they brought a gift with them from Philippi. So there was a way that he was now being able to be supported. But when he's teaching and preaching, he's talking about the Messiah, about Jesus. But when they opposed Paul, the Jews that were in the synagogue, and became abusive. Is this a pattern that we've seen again and again? You tell people the truth and they get angry with you? He shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." This is like when God tells us, you know, our responsibility is to tell the good news. We don't have a responsibility to turn hearts and change people's lives. So we tell the truth. We speak the truth in love. Hopefully, sometimes we're a little bit harsh and don't necessarily do it in love. But when we speak the truth in love to somebody, our responsibility has been completed. And if they're still going to be abusive and rude, there's no sense in trying to continue with a long discourse. Just move on to the next one. Tell somebody else in love the good gospel news of Jesus Christ. Then Paul left the synagogue. And he went really far. He went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. And it's interesting that this comes after he leaves the synagogue. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. So there's a great revival when he chooses to move on. It's like, okay, I'm not going to stay and argue with you. I've got things to do. I want to tell everybody that wants to hear the good news. If you don't want to hear, I'm going somewhere else. I'm going next door. And so this is where that little church got started in Corinth. Now, we know a lot about the church in Corinth from 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And they were messed up, but they were living in a messed up world. Kind of like us. Not that much different. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you." There's a good reason we don't have to be afraid, right? God is with us. Why is God telling Paul this in this vision right now? Well, even though it looks like there's some success going on, he knows that every other time Paul has done this same pattern. He's gone to the synagogue. He's preached the word. The Jews have been angry and abusive. And then sometimes he gets beat almost to death. Sometimes he gets chased out. He's dragged to court. All kinds of problems happen. And you know, I'm sure Paul's like fed up with this. "Okay, God, why does this keep happening to me? I think I might just want to go home," wherever that is. But God gives him this word of encouragement, and I'm hoping that you know, as we hear God and listen to him through his word, that we get words of encouragement, things that will keep us going and understanding that, you know, he's the God that says, "I am with you." You read that again and again through Scripture. You know, "I am with you. Be not afraid. Don't be dismayed. I'm with you. I'm with you." It's a pattern. It's a theme that's from Genesis to Exodus, and it's the only thing that really can give us strength. It's the only thing that can bring us to the understanding of why do we exist. Well, we exist to share the glory of God, to proclaim his goodness, his righteousness. And why can we do that? It's like, this is a pretty terrible world. I'm going to just wither. And he's like, "No, I'm with you." Like, oh, okay. Well, if you're with me, then I guess I can be strong. I can be courageous. That's what he tells us, you know, with Joshua and others. It's like, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. And he's telling Paul here, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you this time, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half. For him, that's a long time. I mean, sometimes he's just a few weeks in a place. He didn't just do a scripture blitz when he went into Corinth. He was there for a year and a half, 18 months, teaching them the word of God. And that's, you know, something that's important. And when Paul left those other cities with Thessalonica or with Philippi, he sent Silas back. He sent Timothy back to pastor and to teach in those bodies. He would appoint elders different places, and it was to continue to teach the word of God. You can't just present the word of God. And I love that Gideon's International is getting God's word out there. But you know what? As a believer, I'm encouraged where I can pick up a Bible and start reading. And here's the English Standard Version. It's a very excellent version, and you can read that, and you can get God's truth. And you know, as believers, sometimes when we're traveling, we forget to bring God's word with us. Okay? So it's not just for people that don't know Jesus yet. It's for all of us to get back in the Word and get a reminder that there's where our strength is. It's the presence of God. How do I know God better? Well, Jesus demonstrated who God was through His life, but He also gave us written Scripture. So when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews of Corinth made a united attack on Paul and brought him to the place of judgment. So here it goes again. But he's already gotten this promise from God. You're not going to be coming to harm. This man, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. And they're trying to bring him to a Roman court and say it's against Roman law. Well, really what they're saying is we don't like what he's saying. It's against our understanding of the law. Just as Paul was about to speak, he's always ready to give a defense, Gallio said to them, if you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. He's like, I'm going to wash my hands of this. I don't want to deal with any of this. I will not be a judge of such things. So he drove them off. This next part is remarkable. Then the crowd there turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue leader. So after Crispus left, they get a new synagogue leader. Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and beat him in front of the proconsul. They're right in front of Gallio. And Gallio showed no concern whatever. And even though that's a strange thing, it kind of empowered Paul to be there for 18 months to be able to continue, and then he continued on some time beyond that as well. In verse 18, it says, Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. So he brought these tent makers, these leather workers with him. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. And that could be a really long story, and if anybody wants to talk to me about that, I'd be happy to go into that later. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. So now he's got some people in Ephesus. He's got a pastor in Philippi. He's got a minister in Thessalonica. He's leaving religious leaders all over the place to keep spreading and teaching God's word while he's going on to different places. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. He's on a mission. He's moving somewhere else now. But as he left, he promised, I will come back if it is God's will. When we make a promise, I think that's probably an important aspect to remember. You know, yes, I promise to do that. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. If it's God's will. Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. When he was in Jerusalem, he probably took the hair that he'd gotten from that haircut in Cenchrea and took it up to the temple and had it burned there. That's part of the Nazarite vow. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia. Have we heard of those places before? He's going back to the same churches he's already been in, the places where he went and planted them. And he's going back to the people that he introduced to Christ and checking on them. Do you still follow Jesus? Do you know him? Do you need another Bible? Did you lose yours? You know, he's going to try to make sure that there's some follow-up there. It's very important. Strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, A Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. Who was in Ephesus at this time? Who remembers? Priscilla and Aquila. So you got Priscilla and Aquila. They're at Ephesus. A guy named Apollos comes there. He was a learned man. He's pretty bright, well-educated, with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. That sounds good. All of that sounds really good, doesn't it? Though he knew only the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. He knew the facts. He knew Scripture. He knew a lot, but he didn't really understand it in fullness. And everything he was saying was correct. You know, there's something a little bit more important even than just being right.
Yes.
It's being godly. And it doesn't say anywhere in here that Apollos did anything wrong. They didn't find fault with him. They didn't challenge him publicly or anything. They took him into their home and trained him and taught him more effectively. He only knew about the baptism of John, which was a good thing. John had had a baptism of repentance. John had pointed to Jesus. He's teaching about Jesus. He knows about Jesus, but he doesn't necessarily know Jesus. And this couple introduces him in a way so that his accurate teaching can become more adequate, can become fuller. And you know, I love that the next thing we find out about him is he ends up going to Corinth. And that crazy place where Paul had spent a long time, he becomes a pastor there. Now, the people in Corinth, I think Glenn had talked about this one of the times he spoke, was they were trying to pick sides. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. You know, I'm of Christ. And they would kind of, you know, pick their favorite teacher kind of thing. And that's not what the body of Christ is about. It's all about unity. Apollos probably was a better speaker than Paul was, it sounds like. But the power doesn't come from the speaker. It comes from the Father. It comes from God. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. And that's all of us. If we've believed, we've believed by grace. It's not something we worked up in our own strength. For he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. We've got this passage where Paul is trying to persuade, that he's being accused of persuading, that Apollos is there proving from the Scriptures. Everything's continually going back from the Scriptures, And if we don't get into Scriptures, we're taking the wrong source. If we try to explain to somebody what our views are and say, well, this is what I believe, and then just go off on some tangent, but it's not from Scripture, we're missing the point. You know, we need to say, here's a Bible. This is what I believe. This is why I believe it. This is the one I believe in. He is the way, the truth, the life. And that's how we share God's precious word with others. Lord, we thank you for this day, for the beauty that you have created all around us. We can look left, right, north, south, east, west, whichever way we look, God, we see your majesty, your goodness through creation. But Lord, we also are so grateful that you chose through Jesus Christ to come and dwell among us, to make yourself known to us, Lord. And God, it's such an honor to be able to be called one of yours, adopted into the family. Thank you so much, Jesus. Accepted in the Beloved. We're just grateful. There's so many, Lord, ways that we can put that I am not worthy. And without you, I can do nothing. And yet, Lord, through you, all things are possible. Give us wisdom on to know what those possibilities are each day and how to speak to people, who to speak to, how to move on when they're not listening, and to find somebody that's ready to listen, God, because we know that the time is short. Thank you so much, Jesus, for you, for your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Do we have time for a closing song? Mort's ready. I could.